Hare Krishna. We will continue with the pastimes which happened happens from 6 p.m. to 8:24 p.m. We had heard that Srimati Radharani was so much eager to meet Krishna that in her eagerness she burned up in a fever of separation, and that Sakis tried to relieve Radha with cooling camphor, sandalwood paste and so on, but it was all useless until Tulasi returned from Nandishwara with news about Krishna. And it is said she sprinkled the news of Lord Krishna into Radha's ears, who then awoke from her swoon. Radha says, "Please, Tulasi, tell me more charming news about Krishna in order to stimulate my consciousness." And this is expressed by Shukadev Goswami, that those who give news about Krishna are the highest welfare workers, because they give life, spiritual life. See, a welfare worker is someone who in this world gives food, water, who maybe work against the climate changes and the damages in the ecological system of the world. He works for the life of others. But those who talk about Krishna are the supreme welfare workers, because they work for the eternal immortal life of us. They shower us with the nectar of immortality, that is Krishna Katha. Hearing about Krishna is enough to revive the half-dead soul, so to say. So here comes the news. "Oh, Radha, I must tell you, when Krishna reached the town gate, Nanda became so ecstatic that he embraced Krishna and had goose pimples of ecstasy. Then he took his little son and placed him on his lap, and it looked just exactly like a blue lotus flower in a lake on Mount Kailash." Some of us have visited Mount Kailash, and there is a beautiful lake, Gaurikund, very mystical lake. I was fortunate to make a ceremony there, trying to please Lord Shiva to obtain his blessings, because he is, after all, the one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. I remember it was a very, very mystical atmosphere on the shore of Gaurikund. So imagine a blue lotus flower standing in that kund. Then you have an analogy for Krishna sitting on the lake-like lap of Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj was so in ecstasy that he did something which fathers in Braj always do. He lifted the turban a little bit of Krishna and smelled his head, and then showered him with tears of love. Now, all this time, Mother Yashoda had been waiting for her chance to be together with Krishna. But she could not really see the Lord because the Rohini, the mother of Balaram, performed an arati to Lord Krishna by waving a small golden ghee lamp, and then she placed him on Yashoda's lap. But Yashoda was so much crying and crying that Krishna finally felt obliged to interrupt his mother. He said, "Oh mother, I am already sitting here on your lap. Why don't you look at me instead of showering me only with your tears?" And then he took his hand and wiped away his mother's tears. Yashoda felt at that time like a swan floating on a lake of happiness. And in this way, the personification of Mother, the love, Yashoda Mai, was restored, and she massaged Krishna a little bit and so on. And then she just opened her heart to Krishna. She said, "Oh, Vatsa." Vatsa is an address to a small child. It means you are like a little tiny calf drinking still the milk of your mother. "Oh, abode of pure love, when you go to the forest, I worry so much for you. Oh, moon-faced child, you somehow are cruel to me, your mother. You have not taken me even once with you to the forest where you play." And then she said, "You did not come home. You stayed so long today." Madhu Mangal, seeing his chance to be rewarded with ample sweets, said, "Yes, that's true. If it would have been up to Krishna, he would have played all day in the forest. I'm the only one amongst his friends who has some reason in his mind. And it was due to my words, which were extremely convincing, that finally Krishna left his games and went back to you. So you can see I'm very much dear to your family and dear to your interest. You please shower some kind charity upon me." So this way, Krishna's homecoming was regarded. You know, every Brijbasi has had his own festival. Everyone had his own, let me say, ceremony. Krishna had relationships to all of them, and they all were very, very moved and very happy that Krishna came back. And then Mother Yashoda sends a whole group of young servants who are dedicated to give Krishna pleasure. He needs to now take his evening bath, and for that servants are there. It is said one servant, so just that we can understand a little bit how they feel. One servant, in extreme acceleration, took Krishna's horn, flute and stick. A second servant removed Krishna's garland. And another fortunate one removed Krishna's ornament. Then one servant took all of Krishna's turban and belt and brushed the dust from his limbs, and then they combed his They gently massaged Krishna's body from head to toe with colored perfumed oils. He looked very colorful, our Krishna. And then one servant rinsed Krishna's hair with amalaki juice, and they all give him a shower, and afterwards they dry him with soft white towels. So in this way, Krishna's wet bathing garment had to also be removed, and one servant put on a very comfortable yellow dhoti for the evening. There was a nice chata which went up to the diaphragm, that is up to the, you know, where the chest ends, so that Krishna's broad chest could be covered. And they all dressed him and put unguents on him, and then Krishna was ready to meet his father. And here you see how he deals with his father. He somehow came to the dining hall, catching the hand of one other friend of him, and then he goes in the forest barefoot, but here in the palace he goes on jeweled slippers. And Krishna removed his jeweled slippers and humbly and affectionately embraced Krishna and he humbly and affectionately paid his obeisances to his father Nanda Maharaj, and then took his permission to sit down on the royal seat. A little later, Balaram came in, who had also been served by his own groups of assistants, and in this way they sat down to take their evening meals. This is a little of the evening pastimes, but it is very important for me here to say something which will help you to relish this pastime more. See, as long as we are in the identification with our own body and with our roles in this world, these pastimes may not be so much attractive to us, because we think, well, what do we have to do with this? This is another world, but we are here in this world. We have to take care of our evening duties. Those of you who have children think that children have to be brought to bed, and in this way, and thus worry, how will I do everything tomorrow? And maybe I'm, maybe you are a little ill, and you have pain, and so on. Most of the time, we are very much absorbed in this reality which we find here in this world, and have only a very limited or brief cognizance or thinking of the spiritual reality. We think, well, yes, I'm ultimately not the body, and yes, I'm ultimately related to Krishna, and so on. But now I'm overwhelmed with this reality. My dear devotees, in such a mood, Krishna Katha is not always so pleasing. But why not change the identification? Think that you are really a part of Krishna, You are not the body, you are an eternal soul. And at that time, you will see, I must know about Krishna. I must know about his pastimes with his servants. I must know all this because I will want to one day also serve the Lord in whatever capacity he wishes me to serve him. I don't know if you also have this sometimes. I sometimes have this very strongly. I do my preaching service and my writing service and my planning and so many projects service. But then I feel something is missing in my life. Often I know the point which is missing is that I am need to hear now about Krishna, who is so close to me, because he's my origin, I come from him, but who seems to sometimes be so distant because I'm absorbed in the affairs of another world, the material world, and I'm there with my role. So this Krishna Katha is very important to wake us up from our slumber, from our half-dead position, where the soul is only energizing the body, but it is not living a soul life, it is living a material life with things related to the body, things which all one day will dissolve into thin air like the smoke of an incense stick. Hare Krishna. So, tomorrow we will hear now about the extraordinary ecstatic evening meal of Krishna and Balaram. We will hear what they eat, what goes on. We will even hear someone eating quite uncivilized and belching while he eats. Not Krishna Balaram, but so on. And we will enter this part of the pastimes. I wish you all very, very well. The month of Kartik is now slowly coming to the towards the final conclusion. Please keep your enthusiasm alive, keep your vows strong. I'm sure that everyone will be given a great gift at the end of the Kartik month. Hare Krishna.